So tonight we're going to start the book of Proverbs. Brother Jim Hobbs, and I think Carrie is supposed to be a backup teacher here or something. So anyway, but we'll get started, and I'll take the first couple of weeks, and Jim will pick up, and then we'll have some sort of a rotation probably going forward for the next couple months. In the book of Proverbs, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 1. The Hebrew word for proverb is mishal. I don't know, you're getting the Ozark hillbilly pronunciation of that, so take that for what it's worth. But the word divides itself into two things. There's pro, which is to put forth, and verb, which is word. So it literally means to put forth words. Now you might think, what's a practical definition of proverb? Well, a metaphor, a parable, a comparison to describe some general truth. For example, might be a man can't give away what he is not his, right? So that would be sort of an example. Now, that's just a little minimal example, but you get the idea. It's something that's generally accepted. It's a commonly held truth. Now, the Hebrew people, the people, the Israelites, they took Proverbs and they wanted to teach with them. And they were going to teach their children, teach one another. And of course, we know that Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, or he wrote most of it anyway. I don't know, something like 915 or so of Proverbs, and then he's written more, and you can look there in 1 Kings if you want to see how many he's written. But the idea is that Solomon had quite a bit of wisdom, did he not? If you would, turn over to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 6 and 9. This is a prayer that Solomon offers early in his kingship. He's a young man. He's intimidated by the situation that he has at hand. And so he turns to God. Now, some of us might be saying, well, you know, he could have asked for riches or money or power or whatever it else is that he could have asked for. But let's see what he asked for. And I think most of you already know the answer. 1 Kings chapter 3, starting in verse 6. Then Solomon said, "You have shown great loving kindness to your servant David, my father, according as he walked before you in truth and righteousness and uprightness of heart towards you. And you have reserved for him this great loving kindness, that you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, yet I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in." So as we read this prayer, this communication with God, what is Solomon's attitude? Is he puffed up? He's humble. He's grateful. Humility and gratefulness. Do we need to approach God with those sorts of qualities? Sure we do. Sure we do. Humility and gratefulness. Well, let's see what he goes on to ask. Verse 8, "Your servants is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people who are too many to be numbered or counted. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of yours?" What's his request in verse 9? Understanding heart and discernment. Now, discernment. So it literally means brightness. It literally means to perceive, to recognize. You ever been trying to put a screw in a hole, bolt in a hole that you can't see very well? Yeah, you fumble around, you keep trying, but then when you get the light on it, what happens? It goes right in. Right? Usually. So the idea here is discernment is the ability to perceive. You perceive what's out there and you can perceive what needs to happen. Solomon realized that he was going to come into a lot of situations, that he was going to have to apply wisdom. He was going to have to apply understanding. He needed to understand the situations that he was in, and he needed to be able to see what was necessary for a good outcome. So he prayed for those things. Well, and then in verse 10, we see here that it was pleasing in the sight of God that Solomon had asked these things. So God was very pleased with Solomon, and as we know, he granted Solomon wisdom and understanding, and many other things as well. Okay, so let's come back to Proverbs chapter 1. As we know I'm going to get to that here in a moment, but Proverbs, as we mentioned, were used to teach. They were used to teach concepts of God, principles, understanding helped them to develop understanding. You might be thinking to yourself, well, these Proverbs were written, you know, several centuries ago, millennia ago. Are they still applicable today? Yes. Paul in Romans chapter 15, about verse 4, talks about scripture that was written beforehand was written for what? Our learning and understanding. And I'm paraphrasing that. But it was written for us so that we can come to know what God expects of his people. So is it relevant today? Sure, it's relevant today. Ray says it's alive and living, and he's right on. And it's applicable for what we do today. So tonight, as we go through, we're going to look at a concept, but there's one key objective that you need to get. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of Jehovah is the beginning of knowledge. We also see that in Proverbs chapter 9 that the fear of the Lord, Jehovah, is the beginning of wisdom. So if you want wisdom and understanding and knowledge from God, what are you going to have to do? Are you going to have to sit here in Bible class? Be careful how you answer. Because if you don't fear the Lord, you can sit here till you turn to a stone. And you may not get anything. Oh, you may puppet the words. You may see all the right things to say, but you may not have any understanding. You may not have any knowledge that's from God. You really won't have any wisdom. So what we see here is the fear of the Lord. So let's think about this word fear. The Hebrew word yara, it literally is afraid with reverence. When there's reverence on something, what is that to you? Someone has had to have great reverence. What is that? Okay, hold it in high regard. So you've got something that you fear, you're afraid, and you hold it in high regard. You look at your relationship with God. We better have a healthy respect, had we not? We better not be running around inserting our own will and our own ideas into what God says for his people. Right? If you're going to fear God, you better do so with trembling and with respect, a deep respect. And he says right here, we're going to read this here in this first thing, but what I want you to understand clearly tonight is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you don't get that, you may not get much from Proverbs. You may not be able to make much application in your life. Well, we're going to see a word about wisdom. We're going to talk a lot about wisdom. What is wisdom to you? The Hebrew word is, I can't say it the way I'm supposed to, and I'm going to pick on Carrie again. Maybe he can say it for me. But if I was down in the Ozarks, which is where I was at today, Yeah, I would say chokma, but it's not. It's yokma, something like that. I know, it sounded like I've choked on something. I get it. So the idea here is that it is a practical skill or an applied action, wisdom. It's application. It's application of what you've learned. Mike, when you started doing concrete, did it help? You read the book on how to finish concrete. It didn't help much, did it? What helped you? You got out there and you started applying what you knew, right? And you learned things. You learn things and things are revealed to you that you don't get from just reading through a book. There's a difference. Applied action. Well, we're going to read a lot about instruction. This book is littered with instruction. What is instruction? Okay. Show the way. And we can talk about the Hebrew word, if you like those kind of things, horot. And it's to point out, to show the way. You ever help somebody find the way? I think I remember couple of trips up to the waterfall out at Snow Mountain Ranch. People would come along. Which way is the waterfall? Well, it's right up that path right there. Showing the way. Instruction. Discernment, or to discern. We talk about that. It's a perception, a recognition, to recognize situations. Would it be inappropriate to discern whether it was wise to walk down a dark alley late at night in the city? That might be an application of wisdom. You've perceived a situation and you've made a judgment, and I'm not going to walk down that path because there's danger down that path. Well, what does that say about our lives today? Do we want to tiptoe right up to the brink of where we are? Or are we going to use discernment, putting God's word into application, and say to ourselves, I'm not going down that path. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to harm my brother. I'm not going to run the risk of violating God's standards. Discernment. Well, you're going to see prudence. Now, this little word salad Bible study, word study, is all going to come to fruition here as we read through about the first six verses. But you're going to hear things about prudence. Well, what is prudence? Somebody says, oh, that was a very prudent thing to do. Well, knowing what will happen, where I'm going for is more like good judgment. You've used the situation and you've applied good judgment to it, prudence. And we'll read more about that here. And then discretion. Discretion. It's discretion. Moral capacity to plan, to form proper intentions. To form proper intentions. Now, for you young folks, please don't be insulted by this. But many times, me, having been a young person one time, I was impulsive. I didn't think things through. I didn't take the time to use discretion to think how a situation might have turned out. I just charged in and went ahead. And that's what happens when you're young. As you get older, you should be using more discernment, judgment, and discretion to form proper intentions, not just rush in. But here we're going to see tonight, all these things are going to play out. They're all going to come to fruition, and they're all going to be useful and revealed to us by God. So, having said all that, and I apologize, that was a mouthful. In Proverbs chapter 1, let's start in verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity. In verse 2, to know what? Wisdom and instruction. So here, Solomon is pointing out that these proverbs, to know wisdom and instruction, there's a goal that we want to get to. We want to get to this goal. We want to have this understanding. We want to have this wisdom. We want to have understanding. To discern the sayings of understanding, and again, we go back to this idea of recognition, to be able to recognize and apply understanding. To receive instruction and in wise behavior. Is our goal here tonight just to talk about a bunch of words, or is it to affect your behavior, my behavior? Right? So your behavior is going to be shaped by these types of things. Well, what's it going to be shaped by? Well, it's going to be shaped by instruction. It's going to be shaped by wisdom, understanding. All these things work together to modify and shape your behavior. And here it says righteousness, justice, and equity. What is it for righteousness? What is that? What is righteousness? Why would Solomon throw that out there? Is that just right in the sight of Rob's eyes? Is that the kind of righteousness right in the sight of Ray's eyes? No, it's a little more in depth than this. This righteousness comes from God. It's about understanding His word and His knowledge and making application in righteousness. So also, Solomon's goal is righteousness. My throat is really dry. Justice. Justice. What is justice? I think of it as just the wrong being punished. There's consequences for your actions. Should we all understand that our actions have consequences? Yeah, you sure do. Well, and he says here, equity. Oh, that's an interesting word. I'm not talking about the equity that you see and tossed around in political arenas. Don't get that into your mind. This equity here, evenness. I didn't say equality, but I said evenness. That's what this equity means, to be evenly applied to all. There's a difference. Verse 4, to give prudence to the naive. Who is someone that's naive? A child. What else? Because some adults are naive, simple-minded, someone that has simple thoughts, maybe doesn't think things through fully. They just take things very much on face value. They don't really think much deeper than that. And here is, what does he say about this? Well, he says in here that to give prudence, good judgment to the naive. So those that are naive, what do they need? Good judgment, right? So all these things we are hoping to get, and we're going to get down to the punchline here in just a few moments. To the youth, knowledge and discretion. Well, here we are. To the young people, knowledge and discretion. Because of your age, you just don't have the amount of knowledge that you can use. You just don't have the application of that knowledge. But for all the young people in here, it's about knowledge and discretion, making good judgments with your knowledge, learning that, getting that revealed from God. Verse 5, A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. What do you see about a wise man? And this is a man, just in general, a general term. What about someone that's wise? They'll hear something, listen, and what do? They increase in what? Learning. Are these things often always easy to hear? If someone is correcting you about some sort of behavior that you have, is that easy to hear? No, that's not easy to hear. But what does someone that's wise do? They listen. They take that in and they use that to increase their learning, their understanding. Well, what else do you hear? A man of understanding will do what? Will acquire what? Wise counsel. So as we study these proverbs and as we interact in our lives, is it important to put your trust in wise counsel? None of us have all the answers all the time, do we? We need people around us that are wise counsel. You know, you have to think about that. If you are a person of understanding, you acquire wise counsel. That's what you're going to seek out after, because you know that that advice is going to be sound. Verse 6, to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. Solomon here says, we're going to understand these things. You know, we talked about in the New Testament, we have parables. And sometimes that the parables were not understood by the masses. But they were understood by those that God revealed it to. So if we are seeking out after God, and if we are searching for God, and we're seeking out after wisdom and instruction, we are going to be able to see here is to understand the proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. To some, it's going to seem like a riddle, but to those that it's been revealed to, it's going to be understanding. Well, let's get down to verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So as we started out tonight, this is where we're winding up. We're back in this boat that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you don't fear the Lord, you will not get knowledge. It's that simple. And you can say to yourself, well, Rob, I'm here 10 times at the building here, 10 times a week. But you better fear the Lord. You'd better have fear, and you better have respect. I'm going to respect. When someone that you respect says something, what do? You listen carefully, don't you? Oh, no, I'm going to argue with that. I don't think that's the way it is at all, because you know what? I know better than what the Scripture says. Right? For those that fear the Lord, it's the beginning of knowledge. You're going to get knowledge that's going to be imparted to you by God. In verse 7, fools. Someone that's a fool, what are they? Describe a fool to me. I'm sorry? Careless. Oh, that's a really good word. Rebellious. They don't think things through. They don't listen. They're too busy broadcasting their own agenda. Well, he says right here, fools do what with wisdom and instruction? They despise it. Oh, I don't need that. Goes back to their relationship to God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And in Proverbs chapter 9, let's go over to Proverbs chapter 9. We'll just read that while we're here. And I know that I've said this about 10,000 times tonight, but I'm going to say it a few more times. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 10 and 11. Well, let's go up. Let's go Let's go up here to verse 7. Let's just read that. Let's read it all. Proverbs chapter 9, we're going to start here in verse 7, but I really want to hone in on verse 10. Verse 7, he who corrects a scoffer gets dishonor for himself, and he who reproves a wicked man gets insults for himself. So someone that is a scoffer, if you try to help them, reproof would be to, you know, correct or whatever. You try to correct a scoffer, what are you going to get? You're going to get hate. What about a wise man? You reprove a wise man. You correct a wise man. What are you going to get? Love. You want to know whether somebody is wise or a fool or a scoffer? What's their reaction? Are they going to love you? Or are they going to hate you? Pretty simple. Verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will still be wiser. When you receive instruction, what do you have to do? This is just on the side. All right, you got to listen, but you got to do more than that. Can you say that again? Okay, you have to act. What do you have to do with your will? Okay, you have to humble yourself. You have to yield your will to the instructor, to the one giving the instruction. So if I was on the trail up to the waterfall and somebody said to me, which way is the waterfall? And I said, it's that way. If they don't yield to that instruction, what are they not going to find? The waterfall, right? So here, a wise man, he'll still be wiser. He'll take that instruction and he'll amplify it. Well, verse 9, teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning. Is it always easy to be taught? Sometimes the things that we're taught, they're kind of hard, aren't they? Well, I have to make changes in my life. Well, it says here that if you teach a righteous man, he'll increase in his learning. I'm going to take the instruction, and I'm going to move closer toward God. Then in verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. So once again, if you want knowledge and wisdom, where are you going to find it? The Lord. And you're going to have to seek out after him with a humble, contrite, respectful heart. All right, let's go back over to Ken. That's right. That's right. Right. Yeah, that's a great point. Listening is a key factor. And that listening, that active listening, that acting on that word that you're hearing, it's about humility and it's about seeking after God. Okay, so I'm going to jump down. I want to jump down here to verse 20. And, you know, if you would like to, you can read We're back in Proverbs chapter 1. I want to jump down here to verse 20 because we're talking about wisdom and we're talking about fear of the Lord and the beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom. Verse 20. Wisdom shouts in the streets, and this is wisdom personified, of course. Wisdom shouts in the streets. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Is wisdom available? What does it do? It's shouting. Are there other things around, though? If you were walking on the street downtown today, what did you probably hear? Cars, people, wind, whatever it is. There's a bunch of noise. There's stuff out there. And we hear true at the entrance of the gates in the city, people coming and going, talking. There's stuff out here. But the bottom line is for those that seek after wisdom, it is there. It says it cries out. Is there stuff around? Yeah, for the masses, there's all kinds of stuff. They're out here just rolling around. I think about an open air market where there's people just buzzing around everywhere. But here it says, she cries out in the street and lifts her voice in the square. And then verse 22, how long, O naive ones, will you love being simple minded? Oh, it tells you something about the naive ones. Sometimes there is a love of being simple minded. He says, scoffers. Apparently, scoffers delight in scoffing. Right? And what do fools do? They hate knowledge. So you find yourself not pursuing wisdom. I'm not gaining any wisdom and understanding or insight. Do you fall into these categories? I'm not trying to insult anyone. I'm just saying there's stuff here. There's instruction. It's instruction for me and for all of us. Well, in verse 23, turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. What will wisdom do to you? What is it to be reproof? Reproofed, is that a word? We got former teachers sitting back there, reproofed. What is that? Corrected, refined. Is that always pleasant? Well, you can imagine a little pre-teenage boy, you get into a scuffle in the school playground. What happens? You get corrected with the business end of a paddle, right? Teaches you not to scuffle in the playground, right? So the idea is that here you see that wisdom is about reproof. Does that mean that it's unpleasant? Well, no, it doesn't mean it's unpleasant. It just means that it's about change. It's about understanding. Well, what will wisdom do for you if you seek it here in that verse? Behold, I will do what? I will pour out my spirit on you. So if you want to be covered in wisdom, you just start seeking it. You just start letting it get being revealed. And wisdom says, I'll pour out my spirit on you. Verse 24, because I called and you refused. Because I called and you refused. I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel. And did not want my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock your dread when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind. And when the distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. I want to read that again in verse 29. Because they hated knowledge and did not what? Choose. You have a choice to fear the Lord. Because they chose not to fear the Lord. All these things came upon them because they didn't fear the Lord. They didn't fear Jehovah. Well, he says right here, all these things. I want to turn over here and time's getting away from me. He didn't choose. And there's things that happened to them because they had forsaken God. Oh, in the time of calamity, what do they want? I need wisdom. I need it. But what does wisdom say? Not getting it. Too late. The time has passed. So for you and I, do we have to be careful about when we hear wisdom calling? We refuse. I got a better way of doing it. I got Rob's way. Yeah, that'll work out well. I'll stretch out my hand because nobody paid attention. I got stuff to do. I don't have time for all this. I got life to live, don't you know? Well, they didn't want my reproof. I don't want to change. I'm too old to change. That's young people. That's what happens when you get old. I'm too old to change. I will mock when your dread comes. I will laugh at your calamity. Wisdom says you had your chances. You chose not to do it. When your dread comes like a storm, you ever been out in a storm on the, like a lake or something? That can be pretty scary. We saw what happened to the apostles in the boat. So the dread comes like a storm. It's going to be intense, right? And then your calamity, like a whirlwind, it's there upon you quickly, and it's devastating. When distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call, but I will not answer. All right, so let's jump down here to verse 30. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned my reproof. So they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. I really like that word, satiated. That's a hillbilly term, I think. But the satiated, to be filled. I think about these old ticks that used to have this outside dog, and they had these old dog ticks on them. They would just be as full as they would be. That tick was satiated with blood, right? That's what is right here. They are satiated with what? What are they satiated with? Their own devices. You want to seek out your own way, you're going to get it. And you're going to be full of it. So you better like it. For their waywardness of the naive will what? For the waywardness of the naive will do what? Kill them. And the complacency of the fools will do what? Destroy. But he who listens to me shall live securely. Oh, there's hope. He's not going to leave this passage without hope. But he who listens to me will live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. So if you were of the naive, their waywardness is going to kill them. There's death, destruction. He said that earlier in this chapter, did he not? But he says about the person that fears the Lord and seeks after him, what are they going to find here? And here, this is, of course, wisdom talking, but we know exactly where the wisdom comes from because in verse 29, did not choose the fear of the Lord. So right here, those that chose the fear of the Lord, he who listens will do what? They'll live securely and they'll be at ease from the dread of evil. Okay, we got about 4 minutes tonight. Any comments or questions as we finish up this, Eric. Yeah, Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, that's a great example about the two people that built one house on the rock and one on the sand. Listen to the words. Does he listen and destruction comes to those that don't? Pam? Yes. Right. Yeah. So just remember, these are general truisms. Right, they're just general truisms. So it could be age, but you could make an application for someone that's new in Christ today. Of course, they don't hear, you gotta remember, they were all Jews, and so they were Jews by birth, by lineage, right? So the youth would have been more directed to the younger people. But for us, that's a great point, the application could be someone that's just new in Christ. Yeah, absolutely. And it could be naive in the ways of God's knowledge. Yep. Good point. Yes, ma'am. And it, that's right. That's a great point about the revealing of truths from God's word. When you've read something many times, I've done that many, many times, and I've picked up something. Oh, I didn't realize that before. It's revealed. It's not studied, right? It's revealed. So that's where the fear of the Lord comes in, right? That's right. That's right. So what you said is contradictory. Oh, the dread of evil, though. It's you ease the fear, from the dread of evil. Yeah, absolutely. You don't have, you've moved yourself away from evil, so you don't have that to be concerned about anymore. And there is a dread that's out there. Okay. These are all good comments and questions. Jerry? Know God and keep his commandments. And you're getting ahead of me, Jerry, but that's all right. That's a good point. Good one to end on. Thank you all very much.